Thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for allowing me to come and be with you to do this thing of worship. If you will, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings and find chapter 18. This is something that happened years ago, but how does it affect us today? When we read the scriptures, and Old Testament scriptures especially, we see the types and shadows and pictures. We ask ourselves, what's this teaching me? If it's only a historical event, then it will do us very little. But if it's an event that points us to Christ and tells us, look unto Him and to Him alone, then it will greatly enhance us and profit us. We're going to be looking at the first 8 verses in 2 Kings chapter 18. Now it came to pass in the 3rd year of Hosea, the king of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abide, and the daughter of Zechariah. And Hezekiah was a goodly king, a king that sought after God's will. He sought for the people to serve God and to come to God and to worship God. Several kings had reigned over Israel. Israel was split into two colonies or two tribes or whatever you want to call it. Israel and Judah. And Hezekiah was king over Judah. And Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord in verse 3, according to all that David his father did. He was a king that desired to follow the Lord. And as we'll read down through here, he began to do things that no other king had done. No other king had done for, if I can understand history right, for 750 years. They carried this serpent on a pole that Moses made, and they burned incense to it. They worshipped it. They said, this be our God. And for 750 years, they did this. And now here Hezekiah comes, led by the Spirit of the Lord, no doubt. No doubt. Men just don't do this on their own. They must be led. They must be taught. They must be given an understanding of what are we doing? What kind of idolatry have we fallen into? And he removed the high places in verse 4. He break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, from that time that Moses made it to this time today, they did burn incense to it. And he called it Neteshtetane. This is the verse we want to look at for just a little while. Hezekiah removed the high places.
Yes.
The Israelites had fell into idolatry. Now these are God's people. And what's this telling me? It's telling me, watch out. Watch out. I mean, we're simple, sinful creatures. We're apt to fail, sure to fall. And the Israelites, God's chosen people, fell into idolatry. They worshiped all manner of gods. The high places were temples and shrines, were on top of mountains where they went to worship idols. Whatever they made with their hands or whatever they thought within their minds, they went and worshiped these idols. And oh, is this not common today? The pictures on the wall. Crosses hanging here. But that's who we are. That's who we are by nature. Except by the grace of God, you and I will still be doing the same thing. And Hezekiah went and destroyed these places, these high places. Can you imagine the look on the Israelites' faces when Hezekiah began to tear down these temples. You're destroying our God. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. This is the God that supplied us all these years. You can't do that. I made it mention to Brother Paul while we were talking this week. Several years ago at Dingus, we was in a Free Will Baptist church. And most of us was religious to the hilt, had no idea who God was, had no idea who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And we had they called it an altar. It was the pulpit. You know, some of you have been there. You go up two steps to the pulpit, and below it there was a half moon circle. It was put there for structural, but it was used as an altar. And as we replaced the floor, we tore the floor out, and we attempted to take it out, and it caused an uproar. It caused an uproar. You can't take our altar out. Who are we going to worship God at? So, some of us still are. Because of the structural part of it, we couldn't take all that we wanted to out of it, but we did take some of it out. But we know better now. By the grace of God, our altar is Christ. That's where we worship Him at. I mean, it don't make any difference if it's here in this building, although this is a place where God has ordained for His people together, or if it's outside, we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God and have no confidence in the flesh. We worship Him for who He is. We fail. Oh my, do we fail. But by the grace of God, we do worship. We do come to Him in prayer. We have nothing in our hands. We have nothing to cling to except Christ and Christ alone. And He removed these high places. And He break down the images. Oh my. Hezekiah must have been a very courageous man. I mean, he was going against the whole nation of Israel here, or Judah, in doing this. But yet, led by the Spirit of the Lord, led by the help of God, he went in and destroyed these places. Broke down these images. These groves were wooden areas dedicated to where the altars would be erected to their gods. Their God. Not the God, their gods. It was said that Jupiter, one of the gods they worshipped, was worshipped in a grove of oaks, and Apollo in a grove of laurel, in Judges chapter 3 and verse 7. The children did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they forgot their gods and served Baal in the groves. You can read several places throughout the Word of God where God instructed His people. He told them in Exodus, when they was coming, getting ready to come into the land of Canaan, He said, I give this land to you. I've drove out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. You go in and you take it. You destroy everything that is idolatry. You destroy every temple. You destroy every imagination that men had when they erected these different statues. And you go in and destroy them so that you will not be able to worship them. Because He knew. God knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. And He knows how little we are within ourselves. Let thou not make a covenant with the children of the land. Don't be fellowshipping with them. Destroy them. I've drove them out. Now you take possession of the land and you destroy everything in it that looks idolatry. And He said, thus shall you destroy their altars and break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Do away with them. Do away with them. To the point that they have nothing to do except look to Christ. We have nothing to worship except Christ and Christ alone. And when we do this, led by the Spirit of God, led by God's instruction, led both through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, we worship Him with a right spirit, a right mind, and a right heart. because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Why did God choose his people? Simply because he would. He had the power, he has the right, he has the authority to choose whomsoever he will, and he goes through, this one's mine, that one's mine, that one's mine, come out. Most of us, and most of the people of God that you talk to, came out of a religion. And that's what he said, you come out from among them and be a separated people, because I have loved thee with an everlasting love, because I chose you before the foundation of the world, because I sent my son to die for you. You come out. You're mine. I will not share my glory with another. You are mine, and I will not let you go astray. Oh, the children of Israel did. They was a type and a picture of the true children of Israel, because they was chosen of God. They was redeemed by God by the blood of Christ and through these Old Testament sacrifices. But many of them sinned against God, just as you and I do. We forget. We forget. We don't worship him as we should. We don't worship him and serve him as often as we could. We have this thing on sitting beside the recliners called the remote, and that takes most of our time. I mean, that's just as simple as I can put it. But these things, no doubt, would have been interesting to see. Wouldn't you imagine what the cross of Christ looked like? But if you found it, it would be nothing but a piece of wood.
Right, exactly.
It would have no advantage to you
right.
In order to worship our God.
Right.
You imagine, I heard a while back that someone with a sonar had found where the ark was. It's way up in the, maybe Alaska or Canada, somewhere just frozen, they said, under so many layers of ice. But if they could retrieve that, they would worship it. And you and I would too, except by the grace of God. So this piece of brass that Moses made, or instructed, God instructed him to make them. The children of Israel had sinned against God. And God, the Scripture tells us that he sinned among them fiery serpents. And when the person was bit by this serpent, there was no help. Which this is a picture of sin now. When you and I sin, it's a death sentence. It's a death sentence. I mean, the wages of sin is death. And when these people were bitten, there was no cure for it at that time. So the people murmured, The people came to Moses, and Moses went to the Lord. And the Lord instructed Moses. He said, "You make a fiery serpent a brazen serpent likened unto these fiery serpents, and you put it upon a pole." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent." This is in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8. "And set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it he shall live."
Amen.
Now this fiery serpent had deadly poison within their veins. And when they bit, it was sure death. So it is with sin. So it is with sin. God used this fiery serpent as a type of our crucified Redeemer. When we look to him, when we, by the grace of God, through the faith that God gives us, when we look to him, we live. We live. So did the children of Israel. When they looked towards that fiery serpent, or when they looked to that brazen serpent on a pole, they lived. They lived. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh yes, there may be an interest in this serpent. But according to history and according to what I've read, Hezekiah took this serpent, this brazen serpent, and ground it up into powder and cast it into the wind. You think of all that the tabernacle had in it. Oh, wouldn't it be interesting to walk into the very tabernacle where Moses served and Aaron served? But if we could see it, if we could lay our hands on it, it wouldn't be long. This is our God. This is our God. This is what we want to worship. This is the thing we want to do. In the worship of God, Christ must be all. Put away these sacrifices. Put away these idols. Put away these pictures, crosses, types, whatever it is. Put them away. And worship Christ and Christ alone. Our Lord said in the book of John, in chapter 14, He says, I am the way. Not a way, the way. I am the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. I am the life. Not a life, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If any man, woman, young or old, makes no difference what nationality they are, if they are to come to God, it must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be through the righteousness of His works, the righteous deeds that He did, and the blood that He shed in order for any man, woman, young or old, to come and worship God. Say, well, I can worship God other way. No, you can't. There's only one way. There's only one prescribed way for men and women to come to God, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To him gave all the witness prophet. All prophets witness. And through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. What a blessing. Oh my. To know that my sins are gone. Not because of what I've done, or what I could do, or what I will do, but because He has taken them away. He came, lived in this flesh, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem. And that's what He did. That's what He did. He accomplished what He came to do. He is not a defeated Jesus. He is a conquering Savior. There's a whole world of difference between here. If the difference is life and death, those that say, oh, Jesus wants to save you. It's prevalent in our area and probably yours also. Jesus has done all He can do. Now it's up to you to take the first step, to walk down to the front, to shake the preacher's hand. That's foolishness. That is foolishness. But I was in it. I was in it and I believed it. And I was sincere about it. But I was sincerely wrong. Until God opens our hearts and opens our eyes and opens our understanding, we will still do it. I get upset with my family and close acquaintance, but they're blind. They're dead. I mean, and the only person can do anything for them is for God to open their eyes. But they love darkness rather than light. They want to stay where they're at, listen to what the preacher is telling them, and push aside the gospel. They push aside the truth. If we are to come to God, it must be through Him. If we are to worship Him, if we are to worship God, it must be in, through, and by Him. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom to know God. How do we know? What made us come out from among these people? What made us separate ourselves from Him? The wisdom of God. God told us, look unto me and be ye saved. He is our righteousness. I stand before God this very moment righteous in the sight of God. Amen. And you preach that to people, you shouldn't say that. That's blasphemy. I know who you are. I know who I am too, but I can still say this with certainty because who I look to, because who has done this work for me. He is my righteousness. He has sanctified me. I, in the very presence of God, God declares me sanctified. You're holy. You're holy. Because I have redeemed you.
Amen.
That according to His written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What do we have to glory in this flesh? We go out of this building, but probably before we get home, we'll forget what we heard. And if we keep it tonight, it will be gone in the morning for sure.
You're right.
If men could find things of the tabernacle, they would fall down and worship them. But Paul sums it up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, fit, to be partakers. We're partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You and I, that look to Christ by faith, right now, we are the sons of God.
Amen.
We are heirs of God.
Yeah. Yes.
And we worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. What a statement. What a statement. That my sin have been forgiven. For the simple reason that Christ paid for them.
Right.
He paid for them. Sin must be dealt with. This thing of sin must be dealt with. God is too holy. He's too just. He's too righteous to sweep sin under the rug.
Right. Yes.
It must be dealt with. And it must be paid for. Therefore, because my sins were laid on Him, when He went to the tree, what was it? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
He has delivered me from the condemnation.
Yes.
He has brought me to an understanding that I have paid it all. I paid every sin debt that my people owed. And they are, in the sight of God, declared to be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable.
Amen.
He says, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes aliens and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. He takes those that curse God to their face. He takes those that worship God, worship idols instead of God, and He brings them to Himself.
Yes, sir.
And pays their sin debt to the point that they are one with God. I don't understand that, but that's what the book says.
Yes, sir.
You mean that Jesus did it all? Exactly. That's exactly what we attempt to tell men and women every time we stand before Him. Jesus paid it all. For in Him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. Nothing can be added to you. Nothing can be taken away from you. You are complete in Him. When by faith you look to Christ, when you believe, then are you sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
You say, well, there it is. I got to believe. You can't believe except God gives you faith.
Right, right.
The gift of God. It takes the gospel we preach, or attempt to preach, strips men naked.
Yes.
Leaves them with nothing to hold to. And then they see their shame. They see their nakedness. They see their inability. They see that they are dead to the things of God. And until God comes and gives life to you, you will remain there.
Yes, sir.
But thanks be unto God who has given us the victory. He has given us life, and life to look to Christ. Believers love God. Oh, the song that we sung. We do love Him, but not the way we should love Him, as Walter said. But the only reason we love Him is because He first loved us.
Amen.
My love is up and down. I mean, it's a selfish love to start with. And it's up and down. It's hot and cold, but not so with God.
That's right.
I'm getting into my second message. I'm going to get off that. Believers believe, believers love, and believers worship.
Amen.
Not in form, not in rituals, not in this visible aid. We need no visible aid. We need nothing to lay our hands on.
Right.
We have Christ in the heart and in the spirit and in the soul of men.
Yes.
And there we lay our faith on Him.
Amen.
They rejoice only in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
True believers have no superstitions regarding days. Today is just another day. It's the day that we've set aside according to the work area, according to the working of the nation. It's the day that we set aside Sunday is to worship God. Truly, from what I've read, Saturday is the Sabbath, according to Scripture. Sunday is the first day of the week. But we set this day aside. But it's not a holy day. It's nothing. It's just another day of the week. We gather together at home and worship on Wednesday night. It's no different. That's just the day that we set aside to do these things.
Exactly.
There's no hollow places. We don't go to the eastern country to worship God. We worship Him here.
Yes, sir.
There's no holy places over there. Just because Christ walked on the sand of the seashore, that don't make it holy as far as pertaining to worshiping God. Although Christ is holy and everything that He touched is holy. But we don't go over there looking for a holy place to find comfort and find rest. We find it in Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
Who is everywhere. He's our Sabbath.
Yeah.
He's our sin offering. He's our high priest. He's our altar that we come to offer sacrifice of praise and honor and glory unto Him. And we dare not bow to any man. Oh, it sticks a spear in me when I see him bowing before this man with a little white cap on.
Oh, yeah.
Call him Holy Father. It's blasphemy.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And they will be held responsible. Our Lord has given His church two different ordinances that I can find in Scripture. The first one is baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The second one is the Lord's table. As often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until He's come. As far as I can find in the New Testament Scriptures, that's the only two ordinances that the church has. I may have overlooked one, but as far as I can understand, that's the two that He gave us. In observing the Lord's table, we simply use the simple elements of bread and wine. And we show forth the Lord's death. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. And as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. And this thing of baptism, it don't make us holy when we come out of the water. It makes us wet. If we're not sanctified before we go into the water, we'll come out the same way we went in.
Right.
Except we'll be wet. We'll be wet.
Exactly.
But knowing something about outward religion, it would be safe to say that the religious Jews were shocked when they seen Hezekiah destroy these temples. Let me move on. We trust, rest in, and believe our Lord Jesus Christ. And we abhor any effort, to rob Him of His preeminence.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Brother Henry said, let us be done with crosses, religious pictures of our Lord, shrines, uniforms, and religion. Let us simply worship God in spirit and in truth. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Thank you.